well with what I've been teaching about faith, you know, how faith works, you know, and as soon as I heard it, I'm like, oh, I've got to go ahead and just share this. So I sat down and I listened and I typed it all out and everything, and it's, so I'm really excited about it. It's really, really good. So, well, let's just pray. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, right now, we just thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that these things are spirit in their life, and the only way we can understand them, Holy Spirit, is for you to show us. Give us eyes, spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear. And Lord, I pray that you prepare our heart to receive these words, O Lord. Let them be a part of our lives, O Lord. Help us to practice those things so that we can walk in this truth. Help us, O Lord, to see and to understand. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you walk with us, you talk with us, and you call us your own. So, first thing, not part of your lesson, but lessons on faith. The key to faith is keeping your eyes on Jesus. The second, just like it, it's keeping your eyes on Jesus. And the third's just like that one. It's a keeping your eyes on Jesus. And you know what? Your faith will work, right? It will work. So a lot of times we get our eyes off of Jesus, and then our faith fails. But if we can keep our eyes on him, not looking at ourselves, not looking at our circumstances, not looking at our inadequacies, but looking at him in his fullness, then our faith will work. No matter what comes our way, you know, as Isabel, it doesn't matter, you know, taught about trials. If trials come, well, then we'll be able to get through those trials if we keep our eyes on him, you know. If the devil comes and brings, you know, tribulations, then, you know, well, we're going to get through those too. Why? Because we're keeping our eyes on Jesus, you know. We walk with him and we talk with him through this life, right? And he tells us we're his own, and we belong to him, and he belongs to us. Hallelujah. We don't have to go through anything alone. You know, if you're feeling, you know, alone in a situation, you've gotten your eyes off of Jesus. You need to get your eyes back on Jesus. As soon as you're able to look fully into his face and see the love and that he's ready and present to move and work, then your faith will rise. So keep your eyes on Jesus. So part of what we're going to be sharing tonight, it has to do with faith, part of faith that's essential for us to be able to receive. So this is what I'm sharing. So we're going to start with 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. And I'm going to bring this book here to help out here. Okay, so now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It's by the Holy Spirit that these things are revealed to us, and that they've been freely given through Jesus Christ to us by God himself. Okay? But these things are spirit, you know? It's not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. These things are spirit, and the only way to see these things is by the Holy Spirit who God has given to us. So we as Christians have the Spirit of God, and one of his purposes is to show us what Jesus has already freely given us. We can only see these things through the Spirit. So John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So he's the Spirit of truth. Remember when I had taught before that the devil wants us to think, you know, we're one thing, but in Christ we've made something completely different, okay? The only way to know what he has made us now, that we're true, actually, sons and daughters of God, that we're kings, we're priests, you know, unto our God, these are all things that are truths that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. Not only just tell us and go, oh, that sounds good, but actually walk in the fullness of what that means, because that means something so much more than we can imagine, you know. And he is trying to get us to that place so that we can see it, understand it, and then walk it out, you know. Jesus was the example of walking out the truth of what God meant for us to live and to work and to do here on the earth, So we have two sets of eyes. Our natural, which is your fill-in, eyes. And we have our spiritual eyes. We have been given the spiritual capacities to see by the Holy Spirit. So we can't see in the spirit with our natural eyes. So the only way we can see it is by God's word and with the Holy Spirit showing us and revealing these things. So it's like when you have the Bible, it's like you're putting these supernatural, you know, glasses on, and now you can see what's going on in the spirit. And that's the only way to see what's going on. A lot of people think, well, this is real, you know. I'm living in the real world, you know, this natural world. But you know what? The spirit world is so much more real than this natural world. Because this natural world was made from the spirit world, you know. One day, this is all going to go away. This natural is going to go away. But the spirit world is going to go on forever. So we put everything, we have all our attentions on this world. But really, what our attention needs to be on, on the spirit and what's going to last forever, you know. So anyway, number one says we can see with our spiritual eyes as well as what we see with our natural eyes. What are our spiritual resources? In truth, the Holy Spirit is trying to show us the unlimited resources of God. So your fill-in is unlimited. And I'm hoping that by the end you're gonna be able to see, you know, the unlimited resources of God, what has actually been made available to you. So let's go to 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Say, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us some. Oh, no, all. He's already given us all things that pertain to life, the natural life, and in godliness too. Wow. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory to glory. It says, you know, people perish for the lack of knowledge. We need to come to know and understand and realize what he's done for us, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Exceedingly great and precious promises. You know, a lot of people look at the word of God and they're to see it as words on the page. But those who have come to see that that the word of God is the key to receive all that God has given us, they come to see and understand that they feel that they know that these promises are exceedingly great and they're precious. You know, how do you see God's word? What do you count God's word as? Is it something precious to you? If not, then you need to get in there because, oh my gosh, the promises that he has made to you, they are great and they're precious. That through these you may be partakers. So it's through these promises that you may be partakers of the divine nature. Everything that God has created us in us to do, through Jesus Christ, is we enter in through these precious promises. And then, this is really cool, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What is the corruption? It's this natural world we live in, this, you know, of lack, of not having enough, not being enough. But it's a way to escape. So before, when we come to a situation, we always look about who we are, what we can do, and what resources we have. But now, he, through his promises, we can go beyond that. We're not limited anymore to just what this world can, or the natural can give. So, let's see. God has given to us all, is your feeling, all things through his promises, is your next one, and to escape corruption or the limitations of this world. So again, God has given to us all things through his promises to escape the corruption or the limitations of this world. So what has he given us? Promises. Promises. So 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says, which we do not look at things which are seen, but at things, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. For all the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. So praise God. If you're a son and a daughter, when you go to God and you say, God, I've got this promise. This is what you say in your word. And you know what he's going to say? Yes, it's yours. Amen. So be it. Angels of God, get moving. You know, whatever is needed, make it happen. In Jesus, they're all yes and amen. So Barry shares that he pictures in his heart the promises of God. Okay? What I taught is your spirit, the consciousness of your spirit, the mind of your spirit, is actually your imagination. Okay? What have you been letting your imagination think about or imagine? So because it says the imaginations of your heart, basically what you imagine is what you're going to receive. So if you're imagining, you know, the promises of God, then we're going to receive the promises of God. But if you're imagining the promises of the devil and what this world has to offer, then, well, that's what you're going to get also. So number one says, looking at seed packets with a picture on it is what is the promise, you know? So if you go to Walmart or Home Depot or something and you're looking at the seeds, you know, they've got these packages, and on the front, there's a picture of it. You know, it might be a picture of a cantaloupe or whatever, but the seeds in there, if you open it up, it's not what the picture shows. It's actually seeds, but if you plant those seeds in the ground, well, then the promise is you're going to receive a cantaloupe or, you know, a watermelon or whatever, you know. So it's a promise. But we have to look at the promises of God in the same way. Number two says a promise is a package with a picture on it. The promise should create a picture inside of your heart. So immediately, if you have a promise, what you need to do is to start trying to picture it. Start and try to imagine it as who you are, what you've been given, what you have. Because it's promised by God. That's what God has promised. And what you're doing is you're taking that as a seed and you're planting it in your heart. Okay? So number three says, if I can see the promise with the eyes of my heart, then I can go through the process, is your fill-in, of receiving the promise. It's a process. Just like you plant a seed in the ground, it doesn't just automatically sprout up and the fruit come, you know. It takes a little while. You put it in there, and then it takes a little while for it to grow, and then fruit come. Well, it's the same thing with the promises of God. We plant them in our heart by imagining the receiving, saying, this is mine, God, you know. So 4 says, God's heart wants us to be out of the corruption or the limitations of this world. So he has given us a way of escape, which is his promises. Guys, we're no longer limited by natural resources or natural abilities, or limited by, you know, I was born on that side of the track, so I'll never be able to have what they have on that side of the track, you know? You're no longer limited to those things, because now God, it's you plus what God can do, and he is unlimited. Promises are seeds to plant in your heart. When you read a promise, it should create a picture. I want this to get through. It should create a picture. If it's not creating a picture, it's not becoming living. It's not becoming powerful in your life. It won't have that, but living in that powerful part won't happen until you start imagining, picturing in your heart the promise. Otherwise, it's just words on the page. If we can picture the promise, in our heart, and it becomes just as real to you as the natural things we can see, then it becomes possible to bring the promise we see with our spiritual eyes into being. So what is impeding the promise from taking place in our lives? Our flesh. As Jesus shared, you know, in the parable of the seed and the sower, it's the cares of this world that chokes the promises. This world holds our attention, right? It's designed to steal, you know, your heart away. Keep your heart occupied, thinking and seeing other things other than the promises of God, what God has said. The flesh is like a veil, so we can't see the promise. Sometimes I'm like, I can't see it, you know? You're trying to tell me that through the promise of God, I can be healed. I can't see that. I've been dealing with this sickness for 20 years. That's all I see is pain and misery and lack and fear. And how can I get, you know? Well, you got to start somewhere. You got to start saying, I'm going to look at God's promises as something that is precious, right, and powerful. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to plant it in my heart. The way you do that is start seeing the promise fulfilled in your heart. So what is the answer? It is what you see in your heart. If your answer is, I don't see anything, then that would be the problem. The flesh is in the way. It is a spiritual veil covering your spiritual eyes. You have to get past the flesh and into the spirit to see. We have to push past it. It's not something that's natural. You're not taught this in the world. This is something you have to know and understand. It's a process that you're going to have to take hold of, you know? It says, guard your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life, right? The issues could be good, it could be bad. But it comes out of your heart. Why? Because that's where faith comes from. So you have to be able to picture with your heart the promise. You have to say, oh, in the natural, I'm sick, I'm hurt, I'm injured, I'm lacking, I don't have the education. But, well, what's God say about this? You know? And say, well, this might be so, but God's word says this. So I'm going to see that I have everything I need and then some, because I'm blessed. Right? I'm going to see that I'm completely healed and whole. I'm no longer going to be restrained by my injuries or anything else. I'm going to be able to do everything that God says that I can do. Hallelujah. Because why? Because I'm seeing it. I'm seeing that I'm moving past these things because of the promises of God in His Word. So we're going to give some examples, and we're going to try to help you understand and see this a little bit better, okay? So example number one, the feeding of the thousands. You know, it was a couple of different times. You know, was it 3,000 Jesus fed plus, you know, men, women and children, and then the 5,000 men plus women and children. So in Matthew 14, 15 through 21, I'm going to read the story, and then we're going to examine it afterwards. So we're going to read through real quick, and then we're going to examine the story. When it was even, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "What? No. we have here only five loaves and two fishes." He said, "Well, bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Okay, so now let's examine the story. So first of all, the disciples identified the need. There was a need there. And you know what? The disciples went to Jesus with that need. Jesus said to them, "You feed them." And just like we do, we start looking at what we have and what we are capable of and say, well, what we have is not enough. Jesus said, "What do you have? Give it to me." Jesus commanded them to sit. He was seeing something they did not. Why are they sitting down? He has nothing to give them, right? In his heart, in Jesus' heart, he saw the provision and acted on it by sitting them down and getting ready to eat. This vision was the power, the authority to multiply the bread and the fish. He was seeing something they did not. We can look at this and we can identify and use this setup right here to go into victory in any situation we come to. All right? You have a need in your life. All right? What do you need to do? You need to go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, we have a need. I have a need here. Or we have a need here." Right? And then Jesus is might tell you to do something that's kind of might be impossible in your mind, you know? And so then it looks at the disciples. Feed them. The disciples look and they evaluate, well, I can't do that. How many times did God say, "Go do this," and you're like, "You want me to do what? I can't do that," you know? "Well, I want you to teach. I want you to preach. I can't do that. I try to talk to someone and I stutter, you know? Who am I? I mean, I barely graduated out of high school, you know? I could barely read when I got out of high school. And you want me to get up in front of all these people and try to teach?" You know, we come up with all these things. We see what we have to offer. And when Jesus is, if he told us, we could actually take that and move on with it. So he just wants us to give him what we have, whatever it might be. Whatever abilities we have, if we just surrender them to him. God, I don't have enough money to pay my bills, all right? Well, you know what? If you surrender what you have to him, he can take it and he can multiply it. If you just put it in his hands and you trust him, he can take it and make it to wait, not just what you need, but even more. If you can just give it to him and trust him with it. Okay? So, and then what did Jesus did? He got them to do something that even though they didn't have the answer yet, he was getting them to act on as if they were going to be able to eat. Even though what was set before them was just a little boy's lunch. He got them to act on it. And then he broke, and then the disciples went out, and the provision, the supernatural provision came. You can apply this to any situation you are. You know, Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, right? And Jesus, and he goes, "Jesus," Peter's like, "If that's you, call me on the water." He said, "Come." Well, you know, I know he was probably looking at the water and looking at Jesus, and then he just jumped out of the boat. A lot of us, you know, are like the other disciples. We're like, "Ain't no way I'm going to go on." Wait, I know what they're seeing in who's in the boat. If I get out of the water, I'm going to sink. But Peter fastened his eyes on Jesus, and he was able to walk on the water. Actually, what he walked on was the promise of what Jesus said, "Come." He walked on Jesus' word. When he got his eyes off of Jesus is when he started to sink. Even though he was walking on the water. So example number two. And I'm going to have to get my notes here. Okay. So Barry actually shared in this teaching about his bout with cancer. Okay. So he was feeling really sick, and as he was trying to stand in faith, but he got so sick, he decided to go to the doctor. He goes to the doctor, and he hears these words. You have 2 days to live. I'm like, oh my gosh, can you imagine? You have 2 days to live? So while he was sitting there trying to process these words that came, he, in his heart, he just looked up to the Lord and said, Lord. And he heard from the Lord, says that this will not end in your death. So he goes, I took that. I took that as a promise. This will not end in death. He shared it with his wife. No, God said this will not end in death. So, well, he didn't die in a couple of days, so they did some more exams. He says, well, you have a week. You have some weeks, you know, but get your affairs in all order. But within weeks, you're going to die. Well, you know, he got his affairs in order, but he was still standing on the promise that God said, this will not end in death. Then he started getting his eyes on the word of God, the promises of God, you know, that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Every knee will bow. Every name will confess Jesus as Lord. Jesus is Lord of this cancer, and it will bow in Jesus' name. He says, I had to choose to see within my heart, within myself, that he was healed. He was whole. He was complete in every way because of what God said, what he had promised. Because he had promised, he kept that constantly before in his heart. He saw himself completely healed, even though he felt terrible. He couldn't hardly lift up his head, couldn't even hardly get out of bed. And yet he was still seeing himself completely healed. Amen. So where can health come from? It comes from the vision you have of yourself in your heart, based on the promises of God, the Spirit of God. That still small voice. He's always talking. He's always trying to get us to see and understand who we are and what he's given us. Okay? But there is also other voices that are all around us. Main one is the devil, trying to get us to listen to and then picture in our heart what he is trying to get you to receive, you know? He is going to pound on you saying, but the doctor said, right? Oh, you know, so-and-so, well, they had this cancer and they believed God and they didn't get healed. So, you know what? Get your affairs in order. What you need to do is not see yourself healed, but you need to see yourself in a casket, getting buried and your wife crying over you. You've got other voices, but you've got to say, no, I refuse. I choose to only see what God has said. It's not that those things will come to mind, because they will definitely come to mind, right? You might even say, oh, you know, you have Christian friends that'll say, well, you know, I hope God heals you. I'm hoping and praying, you know, that God heals you, but man, you need to do everything the doctor says. If they say you need to have surgery, then have surgery, you know. No, I prayed and God said not to have the surgery. Oh, no, you have to have the surgery. You need to do everything the doctor says. But God said not to have the surgery. Right? There's a lot of things going on. You had a problem. You brought it to Jesus. What is he saying? Give him what you have. Give him your hopes, your dreams, what's going on, you know? And then he could take it and take you from there and bring you on to victory. So how can I change these things I see in my heart? 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. while we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay? Do not consider the things seen. Well, how can I do that? It's in front of me. It's screaming at me, you know? What you have to do is not give way to it, right? It's almost like, yes, this is what the natural's saying. This is what the doctors say. But God said this, you know? This is what I am going to go by. I'm going to give weight and consideration to what God has said. And these other things, I am choosing not to consider, all right? I'm going to think about, say what God said, and I'm going to form a picture in my heart of the promises of what God said. It's a choice. So example number three, a cup or a fountain. You can look at your life as a cup that has water, and you're like, oh my gosh, I just had this cup. So what can I do? I'm going to only be able to have so much water, and then I'm going to be, that's all I'm going to have, right? Or you can see that God is your source, and he's that fountain that you have an endless supply. What are you seeing? If you're seeing only what you have to bring, that's how you're going to feel. This is all I have, and I've got to make this stretch. This is not going to get me through. But you need to add God. If you add God and his promises, then all of a sudden it becomes unlimited. You have unlimited resources in God. So that is how you consider. You're not considering just what you have in your natural abilities. Now you're considering what God says, right? You know, in the natural, it's impossible to walk on the water. But if God said it, you can do it. If God's Jesus is there, if there's water there and Jesus says come, guess what? You can walk on his word. It's possible. It becomes possible. Example number four, a battery or being connected to the power company. When we only consider what we can do, what we have, our resources, our abilities, it's like it's just a battery and we're looking at it and the indicator light's just going down fast. But really, in the spirit, God, the power company, is like, just plug into me and you can have all the power you want for free. That is the difference. This is what Jesus has done for us. He made it to where, that is, at one time, that's all we had. That's all we were. It was an impossibility. But now that Jesus has brought us into his kingdom and we have this wonderful, glorious relationship with God, we have unlimited resources. And we receive them through the promises of God. So when the doctor's report came to Barry, he could have chosen to picture in his heart what they said. But instead, he chose to picture what God's word says, what the Spirit said to him, that you would not die. He did this by what he chose to picture inside of his heart. So you don't have to see the natural results of what the doctor said, or your bank statement says, or the negative things your family or your friends say, or what the devil says. You can choose to see in your heart what the word of God says. It's almost like choose you this day. Blessings or cursings. Now, before you were saved, you didn't have a choice. You were underneath the curse. But now that you receive Jesus, you have a choice. You can choose the blessing, and you can receive that blessing through his promise, or you can stay right where you are in the curse, where the lack is. Now, Barry started actually making plans, you know. He didn't consider the doctor's report, but he started making plans beyond his cancer. He started buying things online that it was impossible for him to do in his condition. He started making vacation plans with his wife, and it was impossible in his current physical condition to do those things. But he chose that because God said, because of the promises of God, he started picturing him being going out hiking, you know, and he bought stuff for that, and going on vacation and planning these vacations with, and pictured his wife walking on the beach and doing all these different things, right? He chose not to think, oh, that he's going to be in the ground soon. Because that's what the doctor was promising. So the seeing in your heart brings the invisible into the visible. Things that you can't see that are there, that are available. It's important what we see in our heart, our imagination. So how do you see yourself healed when you're hurting and feel bad? Start seeing yourself healed. See yourself doing things in the future, okay? Beyond what you're capable of right now. Why? Because he said it. I can't walk on the water. Well, if Jesus said you can, you can. Thank you, Jesus. Example number 5, Elisha surrounded by an army. This is a fun, exciting one, right? It says, so he, you know, so here there's an army surrounding them, you know, Elisha and his servant. And so, you know, the servant goes, Elisha, Elisha, we're surrounded by an army. And he's fearing, you know, what's going to happen to them. So Elisha said to him, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So can you imagine what the servant was thinking? What are you talking about? What are you seeing? He was seeing something that, you know, the servant couldn't see. What he was seeing in his heart. So Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There was something going in the spirit that we couldn't see. That it was available, but because Elisha in his heart could see it, it was his. He prayed, and the Lord smite them with blindness. And he took led the whole army to the king, and they were able to capture them. That was an amazing story. Wow. So example number 6, Barry used the example of a watermelon seed. So he likes to talk about watermelon seeds, and he always asks, how many watermelons would one seed produce? How many watermelons will at one seed produce? 5 or 6? Okay. So a lot of people will say it's infinite. Really? It is infinite. But he goes, you won't believe that there's many people say, well, it's going to produce one, you know? So, and that's true. You could plant the one. You can have the one watermelon. You can eat that watermelon and throw the seeds out, and then you only had one watermelon. But that watermelon will produce more seeds. And then you could take those and plant those, and they'll produce watermelons. And so, really, there is an infinite supply. So how are you seeing the promises of God? You know, there's a principle. Let's say if you take the promise of a promise of God and you go through this process and picture it in your heart and then and let it grow and then yield that crop, whatever it might be, right? The thing is then faith builds. You know, if you have what you have, God will multiply even more. Okay? He will take it and then he'll multiply it. And then if you take it again, if you imagine it again, you plant it again in your heart, it'll multiply more. So then you have an abundance. You're walking in health and healing because you've planted over and over God, his promises about healing. And now you're walking in health and healing. You don't get sick anymore. But also you're sharing with other people because you have an abundance. You're able by faith to pray for other people and they receive healing also. It's just a principle. So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The bridge between the invisible and the visible is faith. For us to be able to walk in faith, step out in faith, it starts with us seeing the promise, imagining it in our heart, seeing it becoming as real as what you can see, you know? Abraham was able to receive the promise because he saw that he was going to be a father of multitudes. God helped him out. He goes, go outside and picture, look at the stars. If you could count them, that's how many, you know, sons and daughters you're going to have. Go to the seashore. Look and see. And see if you could count the grains of sand, because that's how many of your offsprings there are going to be. He was trying to get him to see beyond his lack, you know, and see, oh my gosh, the possibility or the promise, or what the promise was going to bring him. And he counted him faithful. Abraham counted God faithful to do what he was going to do. And he has become a father of multitudes. He is the father of faith. He is our father of faith. Example number 7 is, a woman finds out she's pregnant, right? So she's excited. There might not be any other evidence that she's pregnant, but she's gotten the word, you know? We could be pregnant with a promise. So just like a pregnant woman, she's excited. She's going to start telling her family and her friends that I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant with a promise. God said this. You know, right now I was injured in an accident and I've got this injury and everything. But God said, by his stripes I was healed. The Holy Spirit said to me personally, you're going to be completely healed and whole. Your vertebrae that's injured is going to be completely straight and everything it's need is going to be perfect, because that's what Jesus paid for. Well, I'm going to take that word and I'm going to start picturing that. Hallelujah. I'm going to picture like, well, if that's the case, then I won't be in pain anymore. Hallelujah. You know, I can start telling other people, well, man, I'm dealing with this, but God said, by his stripes I'm healed. The Holy Spirit says this, he's going to heal it. Everything's going to be perfect. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. She starts making plans even before the baby comes. She's preparing a nursery and she's putting the baby to bed together. She's making plans. And we need to, if we truly have this picture and it is as real to us, that promise is as real to us as this, we're going to be excited about it and we're going to start planning that it's going to happen. Something that Barry said, and I had to think about it for a little while. Barry said, instead of asking everybody to pray for you, ask the Lord to show you his promises and let them create a vision inside of you, inside your heart. Once you do, you speak it out, start making plans beyond your situation, and start getting excited about that promise. So I am pregnant with this promise. This seed that I planted in my heart, it's a done deal. That promise is coming, hallelujah, right? So, like I said, I've been teaching on faith, and when I heard this, I'm like, I love this. This is so good. I've got to share this, you know? And so one thing, too, very Bennett recommended Andrew Womack's book, The Power of the Imagination. So if you want to think about this more, you want to meditate on this more, this is a very good book, you know, and Andrew always does a really good job of teaching, okay? Guys, we need to get with it, right? You know, this world is waiting for the children of God to manifest. Manifest what? The glory of God. What Jesus has done and given us and made us. He wants us to manifest. What will that look like if you're manifesting? Well, in the fullness, it's what Jesus did. His life, he manifested the glory of God as a son of God, as someone given power and authority, right? Well, he is giving us his spirit. He has given us his name. He has given us his word. He's given us everything so that we can walk and experience life just like Jesus did. But it starts, we start as a baby and we grow up into it. All right? I don't see it. But a lot of people's like, well, I don't see it. Well, sometimes you've got to start somewhere and you've got to grow in it. One other thing he shared, and I'll share with you too. When you're born again, you're born with a very faith of God. All right? And you could picture it like a baby. The baby is whole in every way. You know, you count his fingers, and you see the nose and the eyes. He's got two, yeah, everything's there. And you look at his, he's perfect. He's complete. Well, when you're born again, you're born again complete, and the muscles and stuff that you have is the faith of God. Now, you can grow in that, and then you can exercise those things and become stronger. And stronger. But if you don't exercise those things, then they're going to stay small. There's only going to be so much you can do. But if you exercise that faith, and part of that is using your imagination, seeing the promise, counting it precious, seeing it and getting excited about it, seeing beyond what the natural is telling you. And then you'll see God come through. And then you're like, well, God came through. I'm going to find another promise. And if you do that, if you go through that process, then you'll see him come through again. And like, oh my gosh, what else did he promise? So then eventually you'll get to the point where you're going to say, oh, there is great, exceedingly great and precious promises in the word. Okay? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to go get everybody to come, and we're going to make a circle, and we're going to pray. We're going to share some testimonies.